And turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're putting our study in Acts on hold for today, Mother's Day. And we want to look at some things about mothers today. And I want to be mainly addressing the children as I talk about mothers. And when I speak of children, I'm referring to all of us being a child, okay? So I'm referring to myself and referring to how I should look at my mother and what she has done for me. Exodus chapter 20, just to give us some context here about who is speaking, we're going to start in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And if you think, well, that's the Old Testament, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We want to be sure that we understand that this is not something that passed away when the New Testament was written. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, it's the first commandment that has a promise connected to it. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You don't have to turn there, but also Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Honoring one's parents, as we can see in these verses, is a God-ordained duty for every child. And it doesn't stop when you get grown up. Okay? We are to honor our parents until the day we die. When I say it's a God-ordained duty, I am referring to this law being written in the heart of every person who ever lived, whether or not they believed or obeyed the Bible. It's one of those laws that God has instinctively put in our hearts. Every child ever born instinctively knew that I'm supposed to obey mommy and daddy. In fact, the whole passage of the Ten Commandments is part of this universal law carved in the heart of mankind by the finger of his maker. But this one particular command that we are looking at today, honoring your parents, is the only command in the Ten Commandments that God promises a special particular blessing to the obedient. The Lord promised long life to those who honor their parents. Now, if you were to take a poll of those who have been given long life, 85 to 100 plus years of life, I am certain that you would find one very telling similarity in the majority of those polled. And that is, it would probably come out like this, they would probably say it like this, they loved their parents. They loved their parents. And I can think of at least three very good reasons to honor your parents today. First of all, very simply, if you want to be obedient to the Lord, you should honor your parents. That's reason number one, to be obedient to the Lord. The other good reason, if you want to have long life, honor your parents. So to be the recipient of the blessing that God has promised, honor your parents. And the last reason that I can think of right offhand, and I'm sure there's a lot more reasons to honor your parents, but because they simply deserve our honor for who they are and what they have done for us. And this morning we want to concentrate on mothers, honoring your mother. Now, if any child says, "Well, you don't know my parents very well then," almost for certain, you can interpret those words to actually mean something else. You can interpret those words almost for certain to mean this: I have allowed myself to accept certain sins in my life that are blinding my eyes toward my parents, and I am far too immature to be able to see that. That's what that means when a young person says, "Well, you don't know my parents very well then." Why? Because every normal parent loves their child and wants the very best for them. In fact, a lot of unsaved people, many people groups, and several false religions feel or believe that somehow, in some way, the parent lives on through their children or grandchildren. Now, this is a false belief, but because they do believe that way, the parent wants the very best for their child. Because as long as I will live on through them, I want them to have the best life that is possible for them. Okay, it's a false belief, but it is true that parents, overall, across the board, the average parent wants the very best for their child. They want them to make the wisest choices in life. Now, I am not naive to think that every parent is a good parent, okay? I do realize there are many wicked parents in the world that do not even deserve to be called a parent, a mother, or a father, that do not have their child's best interest at heart. These are very evil people who have children for the sole purpose of exploiting them in one way or another. And there are still other poor parents who made a horrible choice at some point in their life and aborted, otherwise known as murdered, one or more of their own children. Many, many of these poor parents are still yet the parent of a living child or children, or will become the parent of a living child. There were over 42.6 million abortions in 2020 alone, making not COVID-19, but abortion the leading cause of death worldwide. That means that over 42.6 million innocent babies were killed at a rate of well over 116,700 per day, or 1.3 children every second was murdered. Also, it means that 42.6 million women and their physicians are murderers, along with the murderous fathers that encourage them to abort the baby. It is estimated that in the last 48 years since Roe versus Wade, and there were abortions in the world before Roe versus Wade, but since then, in the last 48 years, it is estimated that abortionists have murdered over 2,075,000,000 babies. That is over 26% of the entire world's living population today, of 7.9 billion people. 26% of the world's population was successfully annihilated. That means today one fifth of what should have been living today is not here. One entire fifth is not here. That also means we are living in a day and age where 52% of the world's living population could be a father or a mother of a murdered abortion victim. Whoa. 52% of the world's living population could be the father or a mother of a murdered baby. And that is just the fathers and mothers, not the doctors and nurses responsible for the actual murder. It is no wonder then that the entire world is going crazy and losing its morals at an unprecedented rate in the history of mankind, For over half the population of the world has seared their conscience by being partially responsible for murder. But again, the vast majority of these people are or will become the parents of a living child or more than one children. And the vast majority of these, albeit spiritually and morally poor people, still will want the best for their living child or children. And by the way, every one of those poor people can be forgiven of their great sin and be washed whiter than snow by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them can be. But no wonder the world is going to hell in a handbasket, if you will. When you think of 52% of the population has seared their conscience by the greatest crime known to man, murder. I was shocked by that. I'm not surprised then that nobody can make a decent judgment anymore. But leaving behind that terrible subject and going back to honoring your parents, honoring your mother for who they are and what they have done for you, we want to look at the many, many things mothers have sacrificed in order to be a godly mother. Or at the very, very least, those who were not raised by a saved mother, the many things that your mother sacrificed to be a proper mother to you. We're talking about those who deserve to be called a mother this morning, not those who do not deserve to be called that honored name. We want to. The title of the message this morning is "The Sacrifices of a Godly Mother," or I could have called this "The Sacrifices Your Mother Made for You." The sacrifices your mother made for you. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the message. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for mothers. Thank you especially for godly mothers. And Lord, I thank you for each godly mother that is here today. I thank you for the godly mothers that are represented in this room by the children here. Father, thank you so much for my mother and father. But today we are thanking you, Lord, for our mothers. And Father, I thank you so much that my mother taught me about Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for those mothers here that are teaching their children about Jesus. Bless them, I pray, and encourage them as they do a thankless job in many ways. One that is taken for granted by the entire family so many, many times. Thank you so much, and I pray your blessing on each one, that they will continue to be faithful in this great and holy work of motherhood. In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. The first thing that mother sacrificed, well, the very first thing that mother sacrificed for you and I was her physical comfort, right? When she became pregnant and started getting larger and larger with me and with you, she gave up her physical comfort to carry us for 9 to 10 months. But she also gave up when she realized she was carrying a little baby. Mother gave up any career dreams. She gave up a lifetime of paychecks. You see, most of the mothers in this room, and most of the mothers represented by the adults in this room, either planned on being a housewife from the day of their wedding, or they gave up their job when they found out that they had a baby on the way. By the way, I praise God for faithful single mothers. I cannot imagine the pressure that is on a lady whose husband has left her with all the responsibility of providing for and caring for his family. What a tremendous load to carry, especially if the child or children are young when the husband left. But at no time is it easy, I'm sure. So when I am talking about this point, that our mothers gave up a career or a lifetime of paychecks, I just want to add and mention and say here that the faithful mother who is forced to not stop working because of the lack of the husband providing for her gave up even more of her life for her children. But mothers gave up a paycheck faithful godly mothers gave up a paycheck to have their children. Now, I'm sure your parents and mine surely could have used the extra income for something, right? There is always an extra expenditure that would be nice to cover sooner. Paying off the mortgage would have been nice, so they could move on to the second mortgage, right? Or they could have started saving for the future schooling of their children, and they wouldn't have had the pressure of every year coming up with the school money. Or if they were really blessed, they could have just started saving for retirement. There was always, is always, somewhere to put a little bit of extra money in the household. But Mom gave up that idea. She gave up a lifetime of paychecks to raise her children right, to raise you and I properly. When Mom found out that she was going to have a baby, you, me, she began planning on taking care of that baby at home. And even if Mommy was already a stay-at-home housewife, life changed drastically anyway when baby came along. Titus 2, 4, and 5. That they may teach, speaking of the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Your mother and mine, this is what they did for us. This also speaks volumes for the mother who could do this, and the father who allowed his wife to do this. It speaks volumes for the character of the fathers involved, who were a big part of that decision and the enabling of that. But this is Mother's Day, after all, so we're not going to talk about the fathers. And not to mention, we don't want to pump up any prideful manly egos here, right? On Father's Day, we blast the fathers. On Mother's Day, we pump up the mothers, right? That's how it goes. But Mother gave up a lifetime of paychecks to be the proper mother for you and me. Second thing that Mother gave up, she sacrificed many of her inhibitions to have you and me. You see, Mother immediately found out that she was going to have to get her hands into some really unmentionable stuff. Things you and I would never, ever touch. Things that common sense naturally inhibits us to want to touch, right? Mommy simply had to grab the wipes and clean up whatever it was you had deposited in your diaper. But it wasn't just your diapers. It just wasn't just your diapers. It was your spit up, then your throw up, your boogers, your bedwetting. It was your dozens and dozens of toilet training accidents all over the bathroom floor. You seemed to invent a new way of making a disgusting mess for everyone that you outgrew. But no matter how bad or gross it was, who cleaned it up? Mommy cleaned it up. Mommy sacrificed many of her inhibitions to have you and I. Mother sacrificed cleanliness to have a baby. The first thing Mommy realized she had to give up from her old life, and I'm not talking about unsaved life, I'm talking about her old life of just her and Daddy. The first thing she realized she had to give up from that life was that as soon as you were born, I think I missed writing something here. As soon as you were born, she realized that she was not going to be able to look prim and fresh every day like she had when Daddy got home. She was not going to have time to freshen up every day before Daddy got home. Now, when Daddy gets home, there is baby burp on her freshly changed dress. We're talking about your spit up. My spit up on Mommy, by the way. Or the fact that her hair didn't get done before Daddy got home because you decided that you hadn't finished with that last diaper after all. In fact, you really hadn't even got started on that last one. By the way, it exploded all over the kitchen. Mother sacrificed cleanliness. And speaking of the kitchen, the second thing Mommy realized that wasn't always going to happen was that the house was not always going to be spick and span when Daddy got home anymore. The days of a clean house were all over when you and I arrived on the scene. Also, as far as cleanliness goes, the chores were now completely unending for Mommy. The dishes were never finished. She never saw the bottom of the laundry basket again since you were born. There was always something dirty. And she had, before children arrived, Mommy had been able to keep a clean house. It was possible. It was possible. When Daddy got home, the house was in order. But as soon as Baby arrived, as soon as you and I arrived, it wasn't possible every day to have a clean house anymore. Mother sacrificed cleanliness to have you and I. Mother sacrificed much of her sleep and rest for me and for you. The nightly feedings and diaper changes were just the beginning of Mommy giving up much needed rest to take care of you. There was also the many frustrating times when you were crying and crying and crying for hours and hours. You wouldn't be quiet because you felt sick, probably. But Mommy didn't know that. Daddy didn't know that. You were too young to tell Mommy that. She just wanted to pull her hair out because she couldn't figure out why you were crying and crying. And finally, you would fall asleep in exhaustion far beyond the time Mommy was exhausted. Then there was the nightly vigils when you were obviously sick. You did have a fever. Mommy could tell you were sick. You needed to be cared for around the clock, and Mother was right there every minute. And then, of course, there were the so many times that Mommy had just fallen asleep when you came barging in, needing something you thought was important. She would always get up and take care of whatever it was that you needed. This would happen in the afternoon when she fell asleep reading a book. It happened at night, at bedtime too. You and I, of course, were completely oblivious to its ever happening at all. But Mother lost precious sleep because we needed something. Proverbs 31:15 says, "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." The godly mother takes care of her family no matter what. Mother sacrificed her time for you. Not only did mothers give up career dreams and a lifetime of paychecks, not only did mother sacrifice inhibitions and sacrifice cleanliness and sacrifice rest and sleep, but mother sacrificed her time for you. She gave of her time to train you, in God's way, to teach you the Bible. Did mother homeschool you? What an immense amount of time that took mother. Mother taught you God's word. What priceless value that had upon your life. Where would you and I be had not mother taught you and I from God's word every day? Mother gave of her time to care for you. Every day from start to finish was invested in taking care of her family, of her husband and you and the other children. She untiringly prepared and fed you wonderful meals. Meals that we so often, "Man, this is gross. Why'd you do this, Mom?" She cleaned up after those meals until you were old enough to help a little bit. She kept all the clothes clean and ready to wear. She cleaned the house from top to bottom, even your room, many, many times. Not to mention cleaning up all the crayons, the markers, the coloring paints, and what they left behind all over the walls and the floor and the furniture. And even though she was too busy, she still made time for every member of her family, including you. Mother sacrificed her time for you. Mother gave up her energy and effort for you. Mother was always, always tired out by the end of every day. She had worked hard providing meals that I've already mentioned we sometimes, way too often, didn't like. She did not stop making those meals, though. Even though her children were often ungrateful, she didn't stop making those meals. In fact, if anything, she just tried harder to make things, including the meals, more how you would like it, right? If we didn't like something, Mommy just made it different so that we would like it. I would say that the word mother, mom, mommy, or mama is one of the most self-sacrificing words in the English language, coming soon behind the word Jesus Christ. Proverbs 31:28. Let's go there, please. Proverbs 31:28. The Bible says of the virtuous woman, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I wonder if there's anyone here today that would not do that for their mother. If there was any mothers who don't deserve that blessing. Your mother sacrificed so much of her life to raise you. So much. But she never ran out of two things. With all that she did, she still never ran out of two things. First of all, mother never ran out of her care. Mother never ran out of care. She never stopped caring for you. Mother will never bother telling you this. But even when she came to the end of her physical strength, to the point of exhaustion, taking care of her family, she still got to her feet and took care of your needs when you were too young to care for yourself. Even though she was exhausted, she took care of what you needed. Her care for you started 9 months before you were born, and your mother will attempt to take care of you till the day she dies. That is part of what being a mother is. She never, ever runs out of care. The other thing she does not ever run out of, her love. Mothers don't run out of love. God put a special love in a mother. One that can overlook incredible meanness, nastiness, purposeful disobedience, even hatred directed at her, and anything else, any other horrible thing that can come from her child's sinful heart, mother can love her child anyway. In direct return to any hatred or disobedience, meanness or nastiness, mother will still give everything she has to give to her child in love. Nothing will stop mother from loving her child, from loving you. She has a love given from God that is self-sacrificing. So, child, the next time you are tempted to talk back to your mother, think of these things. Think of what she has done for you and does for you every day. And instead of talking back to your mother, thank God for your mother. Thank God for your mother. Proverbs 31 again, verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And that is exactly what we are doing here today, praising mothers for their own works. praising the virtuous women. My last point this morning, and with with this last point, I do not intend to feminize the Lord in any way. But the love of a mother is a good picture of the love of God for mankind. Notice I said it is a good picture, by the way. A mother's love may be the closest thing there is physically to show us God's love, yet a mother's love does not attain anywhere close unto the greatness of the love of God. It is a good picture, though, of God's love. Just as a mother's love is self-sacrificing, God's love is also self-sacrificing. It is the greatest of sacrificial love. Turn with me to 1 John, please. 1 John. When we think of our mother's love for us, it should remind us of God's love for us. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God gave us His only begotten Son to die in our place. To die in our place. And not because we loved God. It was not when we loved God that God sent His Son. It was when we were haters of God that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Just as a mother's love will overlook meanness directed at her, God's love is freely given to all men, even to His enemies. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but John 15:13, Jesus lays out for us, explains to us what the greatest love a man can have. The greatest love a man or woman could have is this. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's the greatest love a man or a woman could have, is to die for their friends. But what did God do? What did Jesus do for you and I? Turn please to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, 6. Start there. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the godly." The ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Notice the beginning of verse 10. "For if when we were enemies," and we were enemies to God when Jesus died for us. Can you imagine dying for your enemy? Laying down your life for the ones who are trying to kill you, perhaps. Say in wartime. An American soldier gets captured, and he sees some enemy soldiers captured by their own people for whatever crime they committed. Can you imagine the American soldier deciding, "I'm going to take that enemy soldier's punishment. I'm going to lay down my life for my enemy"? I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think it's ever happened. But that's what Jesus did for you and I. That is what Christ did for all mankind. When all mankind hated God, their spirit was at enmity or enemy-like toward God, Jesus Christ gave His life for them, for you and I. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and only God lays down His life for His enemies. A mother's love will overlook meanness directed at her. God's love is freely given to all men, even His enemies. Last point, just as a mother's love does not stop in regard to her children, God's love is also boundless and unending, but not just toward His children. His love is boundless and unending, period. His love is boundless and unending, period. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, what's strong enough to break Christ's love? What is there in this world? My sin, your sin, the devil's device? What is it in this world that could be strong enough to break the love of Christ toward you and toward me? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37 gives us the answer. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, says the Apostle Paul, that neither death, my death, an enemy's death, a good friend's death, no death, neither death nor life, nor angels or fallen angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing that I can do right now, nothing that I could do in the future, no sin that I could possibly do is great enough, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is nothing you and I can do to break God's love for you and for me. Praise God. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. That great love, that love is, it is undescribably great. There are no words within the English language, there are no words contained within the Bible able to describe the greatness of God's love. Turn with me to Isaiah 54. But to try to attempt to give us an idea of how great God's love is. Let's look at a couple more verses. Isaiah 54, verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. God says, my love is everlasting kindness poured out upon you. Go with me to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. And verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. A love that will not end. A love that cannot be broken. In this life or in the life to come, God's love cannot be broken. And when you consider your mother's love, it should remind you of God's love. The love that He has for you and I. What have you done with God's love? What have you done with God's love? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Is there someone here today that would say, Brother Derek, Pastor Derek, I don't know that I've done anything with God's love. I've never really felt His love. I don't really understand what it even is to feel God's love. Well, you felt your mother's love. God gave you that. God gave you your mother's love. That is just a small, small portion of God's love for you. How wonderful your mother's love was and is to you. And how vastly greater is the scope of our God's love for you. What have you done with God's love? Have you accepted His free gift of salvation? Jesus Christ poured out His life's blood in love for you. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Derek, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've done anything in response to the love of God, but I want to respond to God's love today. I want to be saved. I want Jesus Christ to save me. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be saved today. Christian, what are you and I doing with God's love? Oh, we are treasuring it, that's for sure. We love God's love. We are basking in God's love, no doubt about it. What a blessing to do that too. And I'm not telling anybody to not bask in the love of God. But are we sharing it? Are we hoarding God's love? Or are we letting others in on the great secret that we are a part of? Lord Jesus, thank You so much for our mothers and the love of our mothers. Thank You for the example of our mothers to us, of self-sacrifice, of giving of themselves. Lord, help us to be more like Christ in this way. Help us to be self-sacrificing, not just to our family, but of course to our family, but also to others, to strangers, to the lost. And Father, help us above all things to not hoard God's love to ourselves. Help us not to be like the Dead Sea, soaking it all in, keeping it to ourselves. But help us to be more like the Sea of Galilee, pouring it out, letting it run down into the Jordan River and feed others. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You again for our mothers. I pray that You bless each and every mother here today, especially bless the faithful mothers. Lord, I don't know of any mother here that is not a faithful mother. Thank You so much for them. And Lord, I pray that You bless now this invitation. In Jesus' precious name, amen.